Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Oh, yeah! I'm back, Rob Parker.
What is that? Come on.
I'm back.
An hour back into the show? Come on.
I was holding out for Rob Parker money.
Yeah, right. You ain't holding. You got Chris Broussard
money. They wanted to give
me
Jason McIntyre money. Wow. I said, no. I want Rob Parker money.
Rob Parker.
Hey, I understand. What's up, buddy?
What's happening, man? How are you? A few technical difficulties on my end.
Yeah, but we got it all out.
I am back. I am back. I heard you starting the show without me. Shout out to Jonas Knox. Always does a great job.
Man, that's our guy. He's our go-to guy when we need him. And I did say, too, I wanted to correct one thing. My buddy James, I celebrated his 50th birthday today. I said he was in New Mexico. He's now in Winston-Salem. So he was listening, and he appreciated that. So let's send that out to the Odd Couple, from the Odd Couple.
All right, it is the Odd Couple. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. It is easy to save 15% or more on your car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part is figuring out which way is easier. And, Rob, I heard you guys talking about the Ezekiel Elliott situation. Him being upset that Jerry Jones made the joke about Zeke who. And look, I do think Jerry Jones was joking. He was trying to, you know, make light of the matter. I don't think he had any ulterior motives. Maybe it was a little jab, but I don't think he meant any harm. However, I do understand why Ezekiel Elliott would be bothered by that. Because you're talking about money.
Livelihood.
Right.
Chris, you know what? I think people just lose sight and go, well, he's going to get paid. When you're like holding out, you don't know where your career is going to go, there's questions. You start to doubt stuff and what's going on, and it puts you in a very weird spot where that confident running back and all that all of a sudden feels a little like, wait a minute, what's going on here? They don't want me? How come they haven't? You know what I mean? You start to question things.
No question. No matter how great you are, until it's signed. And it looks right now, Zeke's in Cabo. He's working out. His weight is down. He actually flew back to Dallas for a haircut and to get some clothes. Now he's back in Cabo. He's chilling. He's not worried. No, he's worried. Doesn't mean he's not strong. Doesn't mean he's not confident. Doesn't mean he doesn't think he'll get it done. But until it's signed, you worry.
100%. No, you're not. You don't. Chris, we talk about it all the time. It ain't done until it's done.
Right.
No matter what you think, and you go, well, there's no way the Cowboys are going to go forward without me. I won the rushing title two of my first 3 years. We won the division twice in 3 years. People are talking about maybe us going, making a Super Bowl run. There's all kinds of stuff going on. So you want to believe and be confident that it is, but you've seen other situations and circumstances where it doesn't work out. Le'Veon Bell is a New York Jet right now. Yep. If you would have told me a year ago, 2 years ago, he wouldn't be with the Steelers, I'd tell you crazy.
No, I'm with you on that. So I understand where Zeke's coming from. And you know, Rob, from the beginning, I've been with you and hoping – that Zeke gets paid. Think he's the best running back in the league. I think he deserves to get paid. But that collective bargaining agreement is horrible, especially for running backs. And I have said from the get-go, trying to look at this objectively, putting myself in both shoes, Zeke's shoes, Jerry Jones' shoes. If I'm in Jerry Jones' shoes, I am waiting to start the season, especially, and I'm not saying Tony Pollard is O.J. Simpson. Maybe that was a bad name. I'm not saying he's Eric Dickerson or Ezekiel Elliott. All right? But as with him looking good so far, with our schedule being the New York Giants, who they may be a little tougher than expected, but their defense is young. If you're really a Super Bowl contender, you should be able to win that game. You got Washington next. You got Miami after that. three bad teams, or at least projected to be bad. I'm willing, if I'm Jerry Jones, to go into week one with Tony Pollard as my starting running back. And if the rushing game looks strong, if Pollard looks good, I'm getting yards on the ground and we win, then I'm moving on until I feel like Zeke would come back. Remember, Jerry Jones said it about a week or so ago. He said the leverage really begins in the regular season.
No, it does.
And he said, look, it could hurt or it could help the team or it could hurt the team.
Right.
It could hurt the player.
Said they drop game one to a, you know, so-so New York Giants team.
I'm going right to Zeke and giving him girly money. He might want more by that point. But.
And say Pollard has a bad day. Just say it. You know what I mean? 40 yards, he can't get the ground game going. Dak is sacked and can't make any offense and whatnot. Then you go, oh, my God, what are we doing here? Right.
Well, here's the thing.
Now, if you win the game, then you look differently.
Even if they win but can't run the ball, I'm still looking at Zeke. You know what I mean?
Like, no,
if we beat the Giants, we know they're not that good. We know their defense is young. But we rush for 57 yards total or something like that?
Not happy.
Right? Then I'm going back to get Zeke. But I am willing to enter the regular season without him.
Here's the only reason.
And that's when the leverage is really going to, you know, go to one side.
Here's the only reason why I don't want to go onto that road from this standpoint. It could wind up costing you the division with where the Eagles are and whatnot. And I'm just saying, Chris, if you were to lose the first game or two, and those are both division games, right? The Giants and Washington.
Yep.
Those are huge games as far as winning the division. Do you want to be a wild card on the road, or do you want to be have a bye, win the division, have a bye, and then a home playoff game? That's huge.
Well, that's why if I lost the first game to the hapless Giants, then I don't think I'm letting it get to week
two.
You
won't even get there. Right.
I mean, unless Zeke it just starts sticking out his chest and is getting really unreasonable, you know?
Right.
But I wouldn't let it go that far because you're absolutely right. I mean, two division games. If they were two bad teams out of the division, that's a different story. But two division games, and they are rivals. I mean, we know the whole division is a rivalry, but – That adds something, too. They are
rivals.
Well,
you know that Giants, Cowboys, and Redskins, Cowboys, those are big games. No matter what the records are between those teams, no matter where they are, those are two of the marquee matchups.
Here's the thing about Tony Pollard for Jerry Jones and maybe other Cowboys fans who are starting to feel like, hey, man, this might be the guy. And, you know, who knows? We'll see what type of career or season he has. But he only averaged last year, he carried the ball at Memphis more than he ever had in his 3 years there, and he still averaged fewer than six carries a game. He had 243 touches, catches, receptions, and running the ball, rushes, in his entire 3 years at Memphis.
Wow.
See, he was a part-time like running back and part-time receiver. And a great kick returner, too. So Zeke had over 300 carries last year. Just carries alone, he had more than Pollard had touches in his entire Memphis career. So Pollard, I don't know, and he looks very smooth, very swift, got good speed, good acceleration, you know, broke some tackles on that touchdown run. But can he take the pounding? He doesn't look like a guy, and he certainly doesn't have that history of being able to take the pounding and carrying it 20 to 25 times a game.
Yeah, we don't know. It's a big question mark, and we don't know. So I think it's going to be, as you said, kind of a look and see thing to just see where it really fits in and whether or not it's going to work for the Cowboys. It's they're rolling the dice. I get it. They have a player under contract. They don't really want to do business and pay him before they have to, right? But in this case, because of the CBA, I respect also where Ezekiel Elliott is, and I understand why he feels he has to get paid now.
Who would you pay first of the three, Cooper, Prescott, Zeke?
I would pay Zeke because Zeke is the one out of camp. The other two guys are in camp.
I would pay Dak first just because I think – you need to pay him now. If he has a good year, the type of year you hope he has, then that number's just going to go even higher.
But what if he has a bad year?
Yeah, that's good in that you don't
say
have to
without,
pay him.
Say without Ezekiel, just say he has a bad year and you see without the running game or it's not as good, then you would feel like you would be in the draft. Not that you're wishing for that, obviously.
Yeah, that's the problem. Because right, then you're wondering, is he even our quarterback?
Right. You're not wishing that if you're the Cowboys, even though it would save you money.
Right. And I don't expect Zeke to be out the entire year.
No.
That's the thing.
I'm
he
just
doesn't
saying,
have
right.
Le'Veon Bell leverage. It's a different situation.
Right. Le'Veon found out that he had the loophole, which was going to make him a free agent, you remember that changed everything.
Yep.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Interesting story development, Rob, late last week. Jay-Z cuts a deal with the NFL to handle all of their entertainment, you know, for the Super Bowl and other events that they have on booking acts and stuff like that. And also, there's a social justice initiative component to the deal that Jay-Z cut with the league. And we found out today that he is believed to become, reportedly, a minority owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Looks like he'll get, I've read, about 5% ownership Steelers.
I thought it was bigger than that. I thought it was going to be significant.
That's what I read. That could, Rob G., is there another figure that's out there?
When they said significant, I thought it was going to be more than
that. Yeah, because remember, the Rooneys, they're obviously not giving up any type of majority ownership of the team.
But I thought it would be that you know, you don't really do too much when you have less than 5% or whatever
right,
it is.
Right, right. So and maybe it's more than that. That's a figure I read, but maybe it'll be more.
No, I'm just saying, they made it, when they said it, they originally said significant. To me, 5% is not significant.
Right.
So that's just me.
A lot has been said about this. I have my opinion. I want to hear yours first, Rob. Where do you stand, Jay-Z?
Let's hear
getting
yours.
Crushed. Well, let's hear from Eric Reed, who's one of the players that has been critical of Jay-Z. And, of course, Eric Reed, the first NFL player to kneel beside Colin Kaepernick, and he's still kneeling. He's one of, I believe, three players left in the league that's kneeling. Here's what Eric Reed of the Carolina Panthers said about Jay-Z.
For one, when has Jay-Z ever taken a knee to come out and tell us that we're past kneeling? Yes, he's done a lot of great work, a lot of great social justice work, but for you to get paid to go into an NFL press conference to say that we're past kneeling, again, asinine. Players Coalition 2.0, he got paid to take the bullets that he's taking now because we're not having it.
All right, Rob, my view on this. First of all, I do think that Jay-Z, I understand some of the criticism. Last year he was telling guys and acts and performers not to perform in the Super Bowl because of what happened to Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
And now he cuts a deal with the league. Right. However, remember what he said, and I'm just speculating on this, but what he said, this is a fact. He said, the NFL needs me. I don't need them, right? That was his quote when he rejected performing in the Super Bowl. It's possible he was being prophetic. And the NFL went to Jay-Z and said, we do need you. And they gave him a boatload of money, perhaps, to be in this position that he's in. Secondly, he could have handled the we're past kneeling statement better. He could have easily said, look, I respect Colin and Eric Reed and the guys that are still kneeling, but we have to do more than that. Which is totally true. I agree with Jay-Z when he said there are different levels to protesting. And the first level is getting the attention of the people that you're protesting against and of the general public. And that's what was done with the kneeling. And now, unless you're just going to have a violent revolt, which we're not, then the next stage is to talk with the powers that be. And Jay-Z is taking it to that next stage and going into the NFL ownership level, and now that he's running this other department, the entertainment and social justice, he is in position to speak truth to power. You have to be in those halls. You have to be in those rooms to try to get things done, and Jay-Z is in position to do that. Now, I would say to those who are calling Jay-Z a sellout. First of all, Eric Reid alluded to it. Jay-Z has done great things in terms of social justice. And I want to say this to all the people, and let's just keep it real, mainly black people that are saying Jay-Z is a sellout or questioning it. Jay-Z, by his own admission, sold crack cocaine to mainly black people for 14 years. Who knows how many families and individuals' lives he destroyed selling crack. And during that time, none of these people calling him a sellout now said he was a sellout, even though he was destroying black families. And now that Jay-Z has turned his life around, has become one of the wealthiest African Americans legitimately in the country, has started an initiative called the Reform Alliance that is dedicated $50 million to fighting criminal justice reform. Now that he has, and on that committee is Van Jones is the CEO, and Van Jones gets good stuff done. He's made a documentary as the executive producer called Free Meek Mill that highlights how so many African Americans, particularly young men, get caught up in the parole system, the probation system, unjustly, and end up spending time in prison. And now that he is in a position to use some of the money and the muscle of the strongest sports league in the world to help fight against social justice, to call him a sellout is just ridiculous. I'm not saying you can't have some Jay-Z, questions about what he's done, but it's ridiculous.
It's not ridiculous. And from this
he's
standpoint,
a sellout?
Chris,
is that what you're saying?
Chris, Jay-Z sold out the players, sold
Stop
out
it.
Colin Kaepernick.
What players?
He just did. Let me tell you, you made your point, right? And Jay-Z has done a lot of good stuff. That doesn't mean that he can't error or that in this case he blew it. In this case, he blew it because he was used and he took the bait to be a photo op for those guys who have no interest in the black community. I'm telling you, they have zero interest, the NFL owners in the black community. The only interest they have, Chris, are things that they can make money off. They can charge the military to stop and have heroes come in and shamefully take money from the U.S. military so that war heroes can come and wave their hands. They have the nerve to use breast cancer awareness. Do you know that they make money off the pink stuff that they sell? Do you know the merchandise? Do you know that doesn't all go to breast cancer awareness? Do you know that, Chris? That's what
that's
NFL does. No, it's not. Because that's what they do. And what they did with Jay-Z, and I'm with Eric Reid. I am. What Jay-Z did was this was about him. Remember when he turned down the NFL? He turned them down because right. It was easy to turn them down. Chris, they don't pay you for the halftime show. So when they weren't paying, it was very easy. There was no honor there. What honor? There is no payday to do the Super Bowl. And then when they come along with a nice check and say, hey, let's do a photo op with you and the commissioner and all this other stuff. Chris, he could be doing the same work without money.
No, he couldn't.
No, I'm talking about if he wants to partner and they pay money towards social justice and he takes a non-paying job to help out with the music or gratis.
Why does it have to be non-paying?
Because the entertainers don't get paid. Entertainers
yeah,
don't
but
get
with
paid.
The work he's doing, why does it have to be non-paying? Why does him getting paid make it selling out?
Because that's usually how you buy somebody, is you take a situation.
It's also usually how you get things done, is you need money behind you.
We can agree to disagree, and I understand why.
I mean, seriously, name a movement that didn't have money behind it that got anything done.
I agree why black, well, there's plenty of them, Chris.
Name it.
When they started civil rights, there was no money.
They were funded. The civil rights movement was funded.
When they started
the Black Panther Party was funded by Hollywood whites.
But when they started it, there was no money in time. Yes, they do build up and money is added to the pot for people who believe in the same cause. But taking money from, quote unquote, the same people who just did the unthinkable. What they did to Colin Kaepernick is the unthinkable in sports, no matter what people. And for Jay-Z to tell people that they shouldn't kneel anymore and it's done, all right, we should. Can we stop with the cancer research? What's the end game? I don't know. We've been doing it for 25 years and we haven't gotten the results we want. Should we stop? Should we stop donating money?
Are you saying, Rob, that African-American people should not work with the NFL as long as Colin Kaepernick doesn't have a job?
I'm telling you that you cannot trust them for what they did to Colin Kaepernick, and that they're, because of what they did, it's hard to look at them honestly in a league full of felons that allow guys to beat women and children and drug use and vehicular homicide and all those guys. Josh
Gordon
just got back in the league, right? They got room for everybody except for Colin Kaepernick.
I'm with you on that, but
Should
African Americans not work with the NFL until Colin Kaepernick's on the team?
They should.
Would you rather it be a white person with no connection to the black community running the entertainment situation?
Would
you rather they didn't have any social? Would you rather they not give the $90 million they gave to the Players Coalition?
Not if it doesn't mean anything and they're not going to try.
Coalition has done.
Let me say something.
The Players Coalition has been doing, other than, they haven't been kneeling, but they have been in courtrooms fighting for legislation for black people. They got a law passed in Florida so some felons could start voting again. $2 million apiece to 6 nonprofits that are fighting against social and racial injustice.
That would not have
happened without that $89 million.
Let me tell you, with no money, okay, how the NFL can change social situations in this country. With no money, and you don't need any because they're that strong. They went to the state of Arizona, Chris, and they said to the people of Arizona, and they hurt them in the pocketbook, you'll never get another Super Bowl as long as this league is alive. You'll never get another Super Bowl if you don't have the Martin Luther King holiday. Chris, no money, no commercials, nothing. Do you know how quickly it was turned around and they voted for it? The NFL has so much power. That's what I'm talking about.
No,
they can move mountains.
I agree with you.
They can move mountains.
I agree with you, and that's why it's good to have somebody with some social consciousness.
They didn't need Jay-Z for that.
Let me finish.
They didn't need Jay-Z.
Who's African-American.
They didn't need him.
Who's at the table. Here's another example of the power of these wealthy white billionaires. Jay-Z was fighting for 5 months to get Meek Mill out of jail, to no avail. Robert Kraft, the Patriots owner, gets involved, and 2 weeks later, Meek Mill is out of jail. Now you got a person that can sit there with the owners on an equal level and tell them, at least tell them, whether they do it or not, tell them this needs to be done. And his track record says he knows some of the stuff that needs to happen.
Chris,
and I'm asking you, I still want an answer to my question.
Isn't Meek Mill's like, wasn't he a partner with Jay-Z and a friend, a personal friend?
Yeah, he's signed now. I don't know if he was signed before.
He had an interest in him. I mean, he knew this guy personally. My only point is.
So that means it wasn't sincere. I don't get what that means.
I'm just saying it's easy to do that when you have a personal interest in somebody.
African Americans should not partner with or work with the NFL until Colin Kaepernick has a job?
Not until they treat all of the players
the
same way. None. I wouldn't take 2 cents from the NFL.
Let's keep it real. And you and I have talked about this before. Colin Kaepernick could be in the league tomorrow if the African-American player said, we are all kneeling until Kaepernick is back on the team.
There's no doubt about it. They have power.
We are not playing another snap until Colin Kaepernick is back on the team.
But you don't
so
have
why
this
is the
problem.
Focus only on Jay-Z?
No, but this is the problem.
Why don't
problem.
You focus on all of us, including you and me, who continue to talk about the NFL? All the fans who are continue to watch the NFL and play fantasy football and wear football jerseys.
We do understand.
We're all selling out if that's the case.
No, I'm not. I'm not taking a check from the NFL. The NFL does not pay me.
Why don't you boycott the NFL?
The NFL.
Because it would affect your check.
No, but that ain't it. That's not what I'm
you
here for.
You can't boycott the NFL and be on Fox Sports Radio.
I'm a sports writer. That's not what my job is. That's not what I do. So you can't pay me in that way. Jay-Z has nothing to do with the NFL players. He's not the one who's nailed down. He can't tell people it's over. Oh, get back
he's
up.
Not,
it's all done. That's what
I
he try to tell
you,
people.
You,
who
I
are
agree
you?
That you can still
You're
say,
a rapper from the street. You're going to tell everybody it's over because you signed a deal with the NFL? It's selfish, it's self-centered,
Rob,
it's
you
about
know why
Jay-Z.
He said it's over? You know why he said it's over?
Because you signed a deal with them.
No,
that's what they needed him to say.
Three players kneeling.
That's what, so what?
It's
one
three
guy
players.
Can kneel.
Out
one
of a
guy can
of
kneel.
2000,
one guy
three
can
players.
Kneel, and I still will respect it. One guy.
I'm not. I started off my
I
segment by saying
anybody.
He should respect it, and he shouldn't talk against it. But
don't tell me
like
about it's over. Why didn't he
like,
say that before he signed the deal with the NFL? He could have told me
like
that 2 months ago. Why didn't he
movement.
Say that?
To
why
act
didn't he
like
say that? Answer
ahead,
me that.
You don't want to let nobody else talk.
Why didn't he say it 2 months ago before he had a deal that you don't need to deal kneel on anymore? It's all over. As soon as he gets a check, it's
wasn't
over.
Asked.
Because he got a check. Now it's over.
Does he need a check?
Now,
he
everybody
got plenty
needs
of money.
Money.
He doesn't need
everybody
a check.
Needs money. Everybody.
Really?
Yep.
Jay-Z doesn't need money.
Everybody
if he needs,
needs money,
money, he got problems.
Everybody needs money.
If you got $700
money.
Billion dollars or million dollars and you need money,
everybody
need,
takes money.
You got problems.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Today, Antonio Brown shows up at practice. And now, just an hour or two ago, or maybe an hour ago, news broke that he has filed a new grievance against the NFL in an attempt to wear the helmet he wants. I believe, Rob, he's going to. They have a rule that if the helmet is 10 years older or more, you can't play in it. So he wants to get a newer version of the helmet he wants to wear. And so he's filing a grievance with the league to try to get in that helmet. His agent, Drew Rosenhaus, has said that not only has Antonio Brown played all of his NFL career in the same helmet, but he played peewee and high school and college football in the same helmet. So he's very attached right. to this helmet. And look, if the helmet, I've been critical of AB. I think it's kind of, you know, ridiculous. But if the helmet is approved, then hey, let him play. I just want to get him out on the football field. I'm sure that's how the Oakland Raiders feel, and maybe that's how he feels too. But even though he's gone through all this, if the helmet can be approved, I'm fine with it, even though I think it's kind of out of the ordinary, to say the least.
Yeah, I don't have a problem. There's obviously a system that allows him to appeal. So if that, otherwise, there's no vehicle for that, right? There would be no vehicle for him to be able to appeal it. And I think he thought he had found a new helmet that was similar and he was trying to get it approved by the league. So I think that's why he's taking the second step, because at first he came out with a statement when he lost originally the appeal saying he was ready to move on. And then they said he found a helmet that he thought was comparable or like his helmet, a newer version of it, and he was trying to work to get the league to approve it.
My thing is, as he waits on his appeal, he can be at practice.
At the very least, at practice. He was at practice.
No, but he wasn't at practice yesterday, though.
No, I'm saying today
he
showed up.
There's no reason, yeah, there's no reason he shouldn't be at practice, even if he's still waiting on the helmet ruling. And
I
don't
know
if he can. If his feet are fine, which I believe they are, the latest, then he should be practicing. Put on a different helmet for practice in hopes that your regular helmet will be something you're able to wear during the game. I just think he needs to be practicing and playing with the team.
Yeah, well, I mean, today showed up, so let's just go forward now. Not being at practice isn't an issue, and now it's just about a matter of fact I just think he's one of those guys you got to get on the field. He needs to get back on the field and have people remember what a great football player he is. And I think that's will serve. Antonio has been turned into just a lightning rod. It doesn't matter what. People were making a big deal about about his feet and, oh, he should have done this and he should have done that. It's always – it doesn't matter what happens. He's just that guy now. He's public enemy number
one. Well, he's turned himself into that.
I'm just saying, but it doesn't matter. Like the appeal thing people made a big deal about. Chris, you have a right to an appeal. I don't know.
Well, nobody's saying he can't appeal, but I'm also saying you can still be with your team at practice.
I get that, but
that's not play out.
That's not what they were critical. They were just critical that he even was going through it. I'm just like, what is?
Nah, they were critical because he wasn't at practice yesterday.
No, but the practice thing that had more to do about his feet. That was why he wasn't at practice. He couldn't even run.
Not yesterday.
No, I'm talking about when that helmet thing a week ago when you were on vacation.
But more has happened. I mean,
I'm talking about the original. I get what he said today. I'm talking about last week. The Raiders weren't saying that. Because they knew he had the feet issue.
I think they were also trying to hide it, it seems like. There were reports that it was the helmet thing all along. Now,
I'm looking at the feet that I saw, and they didn't look like he could play football.
Well, he practiced twice on those feet.
With the feet?
Yeah. He practiced twice at training camp. And so I'm not saying they weren't bad, but last thing was he was cleared to practice. That was the last bit of news regarding his feet. So I do think now it is the helmet.
I just think he's one of those guys, but
he's created it. It's not.
No, but it's like T.O.
Like he's just people just picking on him.
I just that's your opinion. I disagree.
Really?
So people picked
on him because of what happened in Pittsburgh with him not being there for that critical game.
Yep. Because
really?
Of that,
that was nothing to do with his fault.
No, but because of that, now everything he does is just a big deal. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying that he's perfect or he hasn't done anything wrong, but he's a story because of that. He's just a story now. And no matter what, he could give money to AB right now, could be on a raft in the water with the Pope. And the Pope's cap blows off into the water, and AB walks across the water and grabs the Pope's cap and puts it back on his head. And the headlines tomorrow would be, AB can't swim. That's just where he is. He's that guy now.